You're listening to the Changing the World Summit, where inspiring leaders from around the world share their secrets on having more impact in these times of change, and where you can participate in our project to remove over 1 million plastic bottles from the environment while providing impoverished entrepreneurs with an opportunity to thrive. I'm your host, Julia Steggy, with the pleasure of interviewing changemakers willing to share their secrets for having more impact. Listen to the entire interview series and make your donations to our plastics removal program at www.changingtheworldsummit.com. Welcome to Changing the World Summit, and I'm happy today to have Lynette Davis with me. In a sea of screaming victims spewing silent tears, there lives a superheroine whose rediscovery of self-worth and self-love empowered her to start a movement, that challenges the citizens of planet Earth to embrace their personal evolution by defining success on their own terms. Cutting through failures and fears, many of these victims turned victors recognized this movement as a force to be reckoned with. They were ignited by the superheroine's power of activation through transformational love. So just who is this unmasked crusaderess who enables citizens to leap personal and entrepreneurial woes in a single bound? It's a guru. It's a sage. No, it's Lynette Davis. Lynette empowers visionary women to activate their inner superheroine. She helps turn your radioactive outlook on life and business into a powerhouse of positivity by transforming your mutated mindset and habits into opportunities for adventures in wholehearted living. She's also the creator of the Love Yourself, Love Your Business Initiative, where mental wellness for business owners, entrepreneurs, and professionals is a movement. Lynette cultivates her purpose as a mental health advocate through organizing and facilitating special events, writing, and story sharing. You can learn more about her at lynettedavis.com. So I'm so happy to have you participating in the summit, Lynette, and I love your comedic approach to mental health for entrepreneurs. I don't think I've heard of anyone else with your particular focus. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got on this path as a mental health advocate?
Thank you so much, Julia, for having me.
My pleasure.
So I started pursuing this path quite some time ago. I think what it was a trigger for me, and I was in a transition period of my life, and I think that is the case for a lot of people. They are in a transition phase in their life, and you kind of come to a crossroad where you have to make a decision. What I learned was that my decision was one way or another way, but I couldn't go back. And so as I was along that journey trying to rediscover who I was, I was working with a coach, and she had asked me a really powerful question as I was still clinging to my past. And it went something along the lines of, are you the one? And it was a very powerful question to me because for most of my life, I had been trying to put somebody else ahead of myself. And let them validate me and justify my actions. And that just was not a great way to live. And so when she asked me whether or not I was the one, it was at that point where I decided to be the superheroine of my own life story. And it led me to pursuing intentional studies on love. And in the meantime, in the midst of that learning and studying about love, namely starting with self-love, I was running a business, and my business partner, after about a year in, ended up having a mental health crisis. And she had to leave the business, and she checked herself into an inpatient mental health facility. Wow. And that triggered something in me, because at that time I was like, man, I don't know how I could have missed that, and, you know, I can't believe this is happening, and I don't know what's going on. And I realized, no, that wasn't true. I did know what was going on because I knew depression and anxiety very well. And I began to wonder how love could help us heal and help us transform ourselves and our business, especially if you were dealing with mental health issues. And so in the midst of all of that, I began to reach out to colleagues, mostly women, who were willing to tell me about how they were running a business while dealing with mental health conditions such as anxiety and depression. And I found that a lot of people in business, and a few good men that I talked to as well, were open to sharing their stories with me about how they have fallen and dusted themselves up and picked up the pieces despite having these issues. And I found my mission there. You know, I wanted to be able to provide spaces for people who, even if they had mental health disorders or mental health issues or just struggled with things, that everyday stresses, that they would have intentional spaces where they could be fully and authentically themselves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I hope that answered your question.
No. Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, it may be happening with a lot more people than we realize, because I think it's very stressful to be in business for yourself. And if you are chronically stressed out, you can absolutely have things like panic attacks, you know, or depression. Things come up. And sometimes it's difficult because you're out on your own and you're trying to do all this stuff on your own. You find that that's
exactly
the case? Do you think it's more common than we realize?
It is. It is definitely more common than we realize. What happened was, when I was first doing my research, I was wondering why I couldn't find any academic studies on this. You would think we read so many articles in Inc. and Success Magazine and Forbes about the success factors of entrepreneurs and business leaders. And we're trying to study, well, you know, what do they do in the morning time that makes them so successful? And what are their evening routines? And I'm going, well, what about their mental health? You know, what's going on in their heads? And I was really surprised that nobody was really talking about it. You know, people were just starting to talk about it, but I'm like, there has to be some kind of studies, some statistics. And in my pursuits, I finally did encounter a study, an academic study, that was conducted by Dr. Michael Freeman and some colleagues at University of California, Berkeley, who finally did do a study on mental health conditions and entrepreneurs. And that study came out in 2010, I believe, and they've revised it since then, rebranded it. But it was called Are Entrepreneurs Touch with Fire? And we found out that there is quite a correlation between these mental health conditions and mental and entrepreneurs.
What causes you to actually take an idea that maybe other people have and then actually doing something about it rather than simply dreaming?
Well, I suppose what it was for me was a background thing. Where I came from in my childhood, I was surrounded by a lot of poverty, huge poverty mindset, and a lot of people who wrote people from where we were coming from off. But every once in a while, I would have people who meant well into my life. And that typically came in the form of nonprofit organizations and women and men who were involved with nonprofit organizations who wanted to show children like myself who came from inner city places that there was more to life than our circumstances. And so I knew from a very young age that because somebody reached out their hand to me, I was obligated to reach out my hand to somebody else. So for me, it's much deeper. It's more meaningful, and it's a way of honoring the tradition of giving back as somebody had once done for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. So did you find it, was it a struggle for you, or was it an easy flow? I mean, as you stepped into this, I mean, suddenly your partner, your business partner is dealing with his mental health issues. And how does that transition look between that and then that becomes your purpose?
Yeah. No, it was really hard. It's like in your head you know what the right thing to do is. But actually doing it is another story. And this goes back to, you know, the story of the hero's journey, who I first heard about it with Joseph Campbell, I believe. And with the hero's journey is, like, you try to do things your way, and then all of a sudden you have this calling, and you're like, ooh, I don't know about that calling. I don't feel like I'm enough for that calling. I'm going to try to run away from it first. But it keeps pulling and tugging you until you can't ignore it anymore. And even then, you still resist it a little bit. And, you know, honestly, even to this day, there are certain aspects of my work that I'm still like, oh, do I have to do that? So, yeah, it is. It's challenging, but at the same time, life is never boring. Life is never boring this way. And for me, that's a great motivator. I don't ever want to be bored when there's just so much, there's so much color in this life. And I want to paint pictures with those colors. So I go for it, struggling and all. And I think it's realistic to stumble along the way.
Well, I think it's actually helpful, if you don't mind, sharing a little bit about the stumbling. Because I think that, I know that myself, I have a perfectionist streak. And, you know, for instance, I have had ideas for a summit like this for several years and had to overcome, like, my need for it to be perfect before I just did it, you know. And I think that other people have similar or their own flavor of resistance or the way it comes up. One of our speakers was saying that he did multiple events with hardly anyone coming to them for years and years and years. You know, just because it was his purpose, and eventually, you know, now they're sold out. Do you have something to share that'll help illuminate for us? Gee, that's to be expected. I think some of us just don't even know, and we think everything is going to be perfect before we even start.
Yes. So I'll put it this way. So when I first started this, like I said, it was because I had a coach in my life who asked me a good question, which is what a good coach will do. My first stunt at this was man, I'm learning about love and not like, you know, trashy romance novels type of love, but like real genuine love, you know, the kind that permeates all aspects of who we are, and I want to share this with the world. And interestingly enough, I started as a summit. You know, my initiative started as a virtual summit. And I partnered with a colleague who was also a millennial entrepreneur like myself. And we said, okay, let's have this virtual summit. It's going to be by millennials for millennials. And we recruited all these millennial speakers to do our virtual summit. And we were really excited about it. And when we first launched it, luckily her background was that she was a marketing, an online marketing business specialist.
Oh, that helped.
So she knew how to do that helped a lot. So she had the techie skills, and I had the heart and vision. And we made a great combo. And I had never done a summit before. So in my head, we were going to have tens of thousands of people show up, because who else was having this wonderful, magnificent message about loving yourself and having that reflect in your business? And when we launched, it was just crickets. And I thought that our fellow speakers would share, and some of them did, and some of them totally flaked. And it was a tough pill to swallow. And I think that was one of my first lessons about when you have a big dream and you think everybody's going to get that vision just because it's yours. It was my first real big disappointment. Now, mind you, we did get a decent sign-up afterwards. It just did not look as grand as I thought it was, especially all the background stuff. So, so that was my first lesson in learning that there will be a lot of no's before I got some yeses. And I take that lesson and I share it with others, because I talk to a lot of colleagues who are new to business, or they are in a place in their business where they had maybe like one big client, and that one big client left them, and everything that they knew to get that client is irrelevant now, because the business climate is constantly changing. You know, what's the best method to get yourself out there and get noticed? And I tell them that understand that there is going to be a lot of no's and a lot of doors shutting in your face. Most of the time it's not personal. And you have to remember your why and hold it with conviction, so that despite all the little no's, you know that there's going to be a yes on the horizon.
Yeah. Well, that's
been kind of my motto.
That's what I was going to ask, is like, what's your best advice for somebody's on the verge of doing something? You know, like maybe they want to start a group, or they're going to integrate their purpose into their business in a more authentic and meaningful way. And they're wondering if something's going to go wrong. Or they're afraid, or they're just standing there on the precipice. What is your advice for them?
You know, I read a lot. I'm a writer at heart. I'm an artist and a writer at my deep crevices of my soul. And so I read a lot. And I remember reading something from a colleague who is a licensed counselor, a licensed professional counselor. And she said that there are two people that typically she encounters in her practice. The first group of people are the people who build their life trying to avoid conflict. And the second group of people are the people who build their life trying to pursue happiness and joy and peace and contentment. And she says, guess which group tends to do better in their healing process? And I realized that that is actually very sound advice when it comes to moving forward on your dreams. You can't avoid conflict because conflict is a part of our humanity. And I know that's a slap to a lot of people. And a lot of people, especially, you know, people who might be really, really into like positive psychology and things that, and things of that nature. And, at the root and heart of positive psychology is actually being a part of that other group, which is, it's not saying that life does not have struggle or life does not have conflict or we don't have times where there might be grief. It's saying that we know those things and we move forward towards that which will give us freedom anyway. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm speaking to somebody who's going, you know, I don't know if I can do this, or there are so many people who are already doing this, what more can I add? These are all questions I used to ask myself. And at the root of it is basically going, am I enough? And I ask myself that question all the time as somebody who was originally from what was known as the most dangerous city in the U.S., you know, I would constantly ask myself that question, can I do this? Who am I to do this? And I would always come back and say, you know what? I'm me, and that's all I can be. Me with all my flaws and all, and imperfectly, perfectly me. And I'm going to move forward knowing that things may not come out exactly the way I want them. But what I've learned, and this is what I would tell anybody who's like, well, you know, what if I fail? What if you fail? Did you know that when we experience failure and we keep moving forward, we somehow end up exactly where we need to be anyway? And it may not look like what we thought it would look like. But when you continue to pursue that which will bring you freedom, and freedom defined however you will define it, and I believe that it will constantly evolve as you evolve as a person. But in that pursuit, you will find yourself. You will find yourself. And in finding yourself, you'll find your place in this world. And you will find that, as Maya Angelou says, you can belong nowhere and everywhere and nowhere at all, or no place at all. I believe that's what she says. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Really, truly, it is about the journey.
What do you think is the relation of self-love to changing the world?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I've learned in my own experience is that when I projected a sense of low self-esteem and unworthiness onto myself from outside stimuli, I was constantly stuck and I was struggling, and I wouldn't be able to speak with a conviction that I can now today. And I imagine that the more mature I get, I'll be able to speak with more clarity on this. When you come from that place, it's hard to move forward. And when I began to seriously study love, the same way we would apply any other thing that's really important to us to advance our career, I realized that the more that I began to love myself, the more I learned how to love others and to love the work that I did. And I think that makes a huge difference. Because if you're waking up every day and you're hating what you're doing, you're going to be a pretty miserable person. But if you wake up every day, even if it's like, oh, I have to do a lot of mundane things, but you are in your mind going, but this work aligns with my values. And for me, one of my core values is love. So I wake up and go, how can I be more an embodiment of love through my life, through my work, through my legacy that I hope to leave behind? And that inspires me to do more good and to conspire to do more good together with others.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, what would love do now?
Exactly.
Mm. That's beautiful, yeah. That it creates a kind of an opening, because I've been given that advice too. I remember I had a coach, and when I was nervous about leading a class, and he said, well, just show up as Julia Love and let Julia Love run the show. And I was like, oh, right. That's easy enough, right? You know, bring forward a loving presence. And certainly that self-love piece is a prerequisite, really, to being able to do that. I think it's important mm-hmm. to give ourselves permission, you know, to really, like, get into that self-love.
Yes, yes. And, you know, that tends, you know, to be a challenge sometimes, especially for women. And I work a lot with women, so I can speak on it in those terms. I noticed that women struggle with the concept of self-love because they mistakenly think it's selfish. And what I often say is that you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't give what you don't have. If you're floating on E with a love tank on E, your car is not going to move forward. And you also put out that emptiness energy into the world. So while you think you're being helpful to other people by neglecting yourself, really they're getting bits and pieces of you instead of a whole you. Imagine how much more of impact you can be on somebody's life when you come to them whole and complete. And that's what self-love does. Self-love fills you up so that you can come whole and complete to somebody and give them a whole and complete version of who you are. And it encourages them to do and be the same.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Love Yourself, Love Your Business initiative?
Sure, gladly. So Love Yourself, Love Your Business is basically my mental health initiative, soon to be a nonprofit organization. I'm really excited about that. And we are what we are doing is we are creating intentional spaces for entrepreneurs and business owners who would like to prioritize things like self-love, self-care, as it contributes to their mental wellness. And the reason why I wanted to do this, while it is open to business owners from all sizes, my main focus is you know, entrepreneurs and small business owners, because I noticed that corporate America has things like EAP programs. They have workplace wellness initiatives and consultants that come to their organizations and they offer services, but most small business owners do not. They don't have the budget for such services. And so I saw a gap, and I was wondering, why would a sector that's one of the fastest growing, there's plenty of small businesses constantly being open and shut down. And I'm wondering, maybe if we took some time out to care for ourselves, maybe we could last a little bit longer, because when you come from a healthy place and space, you might be more willing and intentional about seeking the type of services that you need to sustain your small business, because now you're coming from a healthy place so you can make more healthy decisions. And so love yourself, love your business, create these spaces so that entrepreneurs and these small business owners can breathe, can live, can play, can heal, can share resources, and to grow strong with one another and community with one another. So that's what we are doing.
Great. And so part of the, we wanted to talk about what you're contributing to our fundraiser. So it's a big part of the summit is that we're partnering with Project O and doing a campaign to help the plastic bank to remove over 1 million bottles, plastic bottles from the environment before it reaches the ocean, while relieving poverty in areas where are overrun by plastic. So they're providing entrepreneurs in impoverished areas an opportunity to exponentially grow their income while helping the environment. And so to do that, we're putting together our Changing the World Toolkit. And when people donate at a rate of $197 or more, they get the Changing the World Toolkit. And all of our speakers are contributing something to that toolkit to support our change makers in having a greater impact. So what you're contributing, Lynette, is the ABC method to managing your mental health while running a business. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the ABC method to managing your mental health while running a business? Thanks for that.
Sure. Oh, my pleasure. Sure. So the ABC method is just a it is what I call an introduction, an introduction kit to really monitoring your mental health. What I've noticed is sometimes we go, okay, I'm open to being well. But what I found is that it becomes more clear and more something that you are going to stick to when you write it down. And so my kit has some elements in it that are both educational but also interactive. So to get you started with writing down things that affect your emotions while you're running your business so that you can keep track of your good days, your meh days, and understand yourself a little bit better so that you can know when you might have been triggered and when you are in a better place where you can make better decisions. So that's essentially what I created with the toolkit. So you have some educational components with some resources, and then you also have a worksheet that, you can make copies of and put together a starter packet of your own wellness, your own workplace wellness initiative just for you.
Yeah, I think that's so great. And I think it's an important thing that, for us to be conscious of that, as we're maybe creating our own health plan to include our mental health in that. It's not just about, you know, exercising the body or whatever, you know, that or eating right.
Exactly. And, you know, that those elements are very important. You know, there's plenty of studies that show that physical exercise contributes to a healthy mind. You know, those two are interrelated. But there's also different methods that cater specifically to your mental health. And all of it, you know, fits together like slices of a complete pie. And that's what I am trying to encourage, that you nurture all aspects of your being, not just, you know, hitting the gym.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, thanks for that contribution. Do you have any final words of advice for our would-be change makers out there?
Yeah. And I might be kind of reinforcing some of the things that I was saying, but I was just thinking about what you were saying about people who might be kind of on the fence about getting started, and and I was thinking about perfectionism because that is definitely a struggle for me and my verbal brain as well, and you know, I'm not entirely sure of the age group and demographics, but I know that one of the things that has been written constantly about millennials is millennials are we're known as the selfie generation, right? And so that is typically seen as constantly looking for validation. But the truth is, I know, because I talk to and I'm around women of many different generations, because I can get wisdom from all. And there's a point in all of us where sometimes we look for validation and trying to fit in, when really what we're looking for is belonging. And so when it comes to being a change maker and getting started with something, whether that be a small business or a movement, we have to be wary of that validation and that need for consensus. I think there's tremendous value in community, but always remember that you are that solid stone. And that you create the ripples. It always starts with a foundation of you, and not in a selfie mode, but as in you are a person and you are whole and you are solid, and, you know, as a stone gets thrown into the water, you create ripple effects of the different circles of people that are going to come in and out of your life. And so you have to be at home with yourself and know that it is you who has to make that final decision. Again, community is really important, but not to the point where you're constantly seeking validation and waiting for somebody else's permission for you to live. So you have to be on the lookout for that. Because I know that when I was getting started, that was one of my kryptonites, constantly waiting for somebody else to give me permission to live my life and to go hard.
Right, like, oh, this is my idea. What do you think of this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's my advice to somebody, that ultimately, you have to make the decision. You have to make the choice, even though it's scary. But you have to be the author of your own story. And like I said, be the superheroine or superhero of your journey. This is your life. Live it.
Thank you so much, Lynette. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the Changing the World Summit.
It has truly been my pleasure to be here, and I hope that everybody gets some value of not only what I share, but all the speakers. I applaud all of us for all the wonderful things that we are contributing to the world, and I thank you for hosting this.
My pleasure and my purpose.
Thank you for listening to the Changing the World Summit, where inspiring leaders from around the world share their secrets on having more impact in these times of change. To participate in our project to remove over 1 million plastic bottles from the environment, please visit www.changingtheworldsummit.com now and make your contribution.